This is Imperfectly Honest. I'm Elizabeth, and after about four decades, I'm shifting from the person I always thought I should be to the person I really want to be, in part because I've learned to be honest, both with myself and just about everybody I encounter. It's not always perfect. Sometimes it's a rocky road, but I'm learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might learn something too.
Everyone, Kayla here, and I'm excited to connect with you and share this particular conversation. I was lucky enough to kick off December with a trip to Italy, and given the way travel can expand and challenge us, Elizabeth thought it would be interesting to just share some of my reflections and get candid about any imperfectly honest moments I may have encountered while on the road. And this episode doesn't focus on a single topic or theme. It's truly an organic conversation with Elizabeth that, frankly, takes twists and turns and winds in a way that's reminiscent of the Italian roads I drove. So as you listen, I invite you to ask yourself what you'd like to welcome more of in the new year, and really get honest about where there may be room for you to slow down, be present, and, as the Italians say, live la dolce vita, savor more of life's pleasures. So without further ado, on to the episode. I hope you enjoy.
Hey, all. Today, we're going to have a fun conversation. My friend and collaborator, Kayla Gorski, who has made an appearance a few times on the podcast, just got back from Italy. And I haven't had a chance to hear about her trip. And one of the things that I've learned from multi-week traveling experiences is that you often learn a lot in the process and have some fun things to share. And I just kind of have a feeling that there might be something imperfectly honest to talk about in this conversation. So here we are. Kayla, how are you?
Hi, Elizabeth. It's so great to be here with you and finally catching up. I've missed you in our talks and our walks. So thank you for the invite to join and share today.
I'm so glad we could do this.
Me too. And I am so glad to be awake and coherent and functioning, because the time difference is no joke. Jet lag really got me this time. Usually my body springs right back, but just not quite as young as I used to be, I guess.
Yeah, I've never been very good at that, but it doesn't seem to be getting any easier.
Yeah. Thank you for the invitation to share more about Italy. And just as sort of background for people listening, the trip was part fun, part work, where I went with a dear friend of mine who also happens to be a wine importer. And he works exclusively with small, kind of family-run, biodynamic wineries in Italy. And every December, he goes on this trip to meet with his producers and spend some time with them and taste what they're excited about in their cellars and just connect. He's so good at relationships. And it's just, you know, it's one of the things I really admire about him and just the business that he's built. So this trip is a trip that George has invited me to join him on for probably the past 5 years. And he always goes the beginning of December. And I have always needed to say no, because I was working at a big advertising and PR agency. And we always tried to close the last 2 weeks of December. So the first 2 weeks of December, it was just impossible. There was no way that I could have taken that time off and really gone and experienced Italy and been a part of this adventure. And as we've kind of talked about and shared in a past episode, I am no longer working at that agency and am exploring more freelance and project-based things. And while that creates uncertainty in some areas from a financial standpoint, it creates so much freedom where my time is my own. And I just couldn't help but smile in recognizing that when I, quote unquote, had the money, I didn't have the time. And now I don't have the money, but have the time. And time is the more valuable resource of it all. And it was just such a gift to be able to really just go and fully immerse in this experience for 2 full weeks. Because we zipped around, I mean, all over. George has producers that he works with all over the country. And so we were really focused more on the northern area. So we flew into Rome and then very quickly hopped in a little rental car and zipped, I mean, all over. We went to Viterbo, which is just north of Rome. And then we went out to Umbria. We spent some time in Tuscany. We were in Friuli and Verona and Piemonte. And it was just a whirlwind and so fabulous. And I think that, you know, the biggest takeaway I have coming out of this trip, and we can certainly dive more into some of the nuance of some of these stops and things, but I came out of it with such clarity around knowing that in 2026, I want to pursue passion. I want passion to be the theme of my life in all ways, in what I'm doing professionally, in how I show up in my friendships, in finding that romantic partner that ignites passion in that way. And passion is the thread that I really want to carry forward.
So, when most, I shouldn't say when most people, but I will say when some people hear passion, I imagine that they might think something like, oh, passion is for romance. And how would you bring passion into something like a friendship? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that to me, passion is, it's such a dynamic word. And it's just a way to say, I just want to bring deep caring and commitment and fully embodying the present moment to all of my interactions and just, I guess, leaning into my aliveness as a human, like really feeling so truly alive in any given spot, at any given time, with any given person.
You know, I've been doing a lot of thinking about what it means to be human. One of the things that I want to work on in 2026 is getting in touch with my animal self, because I think I've spent most of my life training myself to get to the next milestone and to set myself up so that I have a fallback plan and to do all the things that I think I'm supposed to do to be happy. And somewhere in that process, I kind of lost touch with my intuition and how to find joy and how to find passion and all those things. And I have been just really noticing that if I allow myself to stop overthinking and just sort of get back in touch with my intuitive self,
Feeling,
which I call my animal self. Yeah, that things go my way. So, what's one unexpected experience that came out of this trip?
I think it, actually, kind of springing off of what you just shared, it was, I think, a really beautiful reminder to continue to move towards joy. And I think that's where I discover my animal self, to use your words, and to just reconnect with the rawness of what it is my soul really craves. When I just move towards the things that bring me joy, I can't lose. I can't go wrong. And Italy was, it just delivered on that every day. Every day was a new invitation to move towards what that thing was. You know, we had a bit of a schedule, of course, because we were, you know, meeting with some different producers and had some things on the books. But there were also these moments of just choice within how are you going to fuel yourself and how are you going to experience this part of the country that you're now in through your taste buds and through the conversations that you're having with these people. And my big question that I ask myself every day is, how do you want to move today? How do you want to move your body? And it was really important to me to not lose sight of that, despite being just not in my regular routine or in my familiar space. And so finding ways where I was still doing that, because that is a baseline way for me to move towards joy.
Yeah, I often find that striking that balance between maintaining some sort of a routine and also seizing the opportunity is hard for me.
Well, especially when you're dealing with, I think, time differences and your body's just tired and it's craving rest as well. But no, it's not easy, and I wasn't great. I wasn't perfect at it. Like, I didn't necessarily do it every day, but it was a conscious choice that I would make to, as I was going to bed, do you want to get up with enough time to get, a little hotel room workout in, or go for a walk, or whatever that might look like? Or does your body really need rest? And so there was a nice invitation, I think, to just really tap into what I needed, and then to be honest about what that was. There just wasn't the pressure that I think sometimes I feel at home, where it's like, oh, well, you typically go to this workout class on this day, so there's really no option. You're just going to get up and do that. But time was so irrelevant in Italy. It all just kind of, everything sort of blended together, and it just wasn't the same.
Did you have any imperfectly honest moments? I think, particularly when you're traveling with groups, sometimes there can be some challenging dynamics that pushes you to have an imperfectly honest moment.
Yeah, I absolutely did. And I will say, so it was George and I were really a duo. I think something so beautiful about our friendship is we can really sit in silence well together. And it's something I really appreciate. Neither one of us feels this pull to fill the space. And so we have spent a fair amount of time in the car and kind of driving to different regions and things. But it was nice to be able to sit back and take that in. However, there was one moment that really stands out where I have always been curious about wine and interested in it, and I understand different tasting notes and pairings, but at a more, I guess, beginner, slightly more than beginner kind of positioning. I'm certainly not an expert by any means, and certainly not on George's level. And so we went to a producer in Tuscany, and we get there, and I found out that we were doing a blind tasting of 18 different Chianti Classicos from 2022. I
Whoa.
am not a big Chianti drinker. And so I looked at George, panic in my eyes, and I was like, George, what are we walking into? Can you help set me up for success? And he starts laughing and he goes, I would Google tasting notes of the Sangiovese grape. And that was it. And he kind of laughs and like, we just go in. I mean, talk about being thrown into the deep end. And we are sitting around the table, and it was really a very cool experiment, and to see how passionate these people are about their craft and what it is that they're creating. So they had 18 different bottles, all wrapped in tin foil, and any of the labels on the neck were removed, so you really didn't know what it was. It just had a number on it, and they really wanted to see how their product ranked against the others in the region, in the area. And the kind of winemakers and people who work in the cellar at this particular winery were present, along with a wine consultant, another kind of person who works on site there, myself and George. So there were, I think, seven of us total. And you would have six glasses in front of you at any one time, and you would narrow it down to your two favorites and go through that process three times, and then you'd bring the kind of six winners back to then narrow it down. And each time people would go around and talk about what flavors they were getting and the notes and the scent and the body and all of this. And I mean, that is just so over my head. And at a certain point, I mean, I learned how to spit wine very quickly. Swan, let me tell you. But it's at a certain point, I'm like, I just don't even think my mouth is working anymore. Like I can't figure this out. And I think on top of that, I was we were about this was on day maybe 4 or 5, and I don't speak Italian. I know a couple of phrases and words, but I don't speak the language. And while many of the people that we met did, the first handful of days, there just wasn't a lot of ability to connect with people, because either their handle on the English language was a little was either not there or was equal to where mine was with Italian, which just wasn't great. And I am someone who I just want to connect deeply. I want to know the last time you ate something that made you cry. I want to know, what you're most looking forward to leaving behind in 2025. And I had no capacity for these questions and was left with kind of basic things or the universal language of wine, which again felt a little bit over my head. And so in this moment, I was just really overcome with, I think, two of those realities. And I was so close to tears. And I went, and mind you, no one was judging me. No one was being in any way critical or unkind. If anything, I was just met with consistent kindness and encouragement. This was all my own story, right? And I went outside and I called a friend of mine who is also close with George and has been on this particular trip in the past. And he was the right person to call on that moment because he just met me where I was. And he's like, listen, I get it. I know how you operate in the world, and I know that you want to connect, and that you're really struggling to do that right now. And I feel for you. And I know that the wine piece is overwhelming, but you wouldn't be there if George didn't really want you there. And like, just breathe through it. And he was just very kind. He gave me the pep talk that I needed, but it was probably the most imperfectly honest kind of breakdown moment of the trip.
Well, there's a couple of things I'd like to dig into there. Just kind of is a follow-up comment. I sometimes find that I get really nervous about whether I'm going to deliver when I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Oh my God.
And
100%, Elizabeth. Like, my whole worth is predicated on performance and achievement. And it's something I've like recently identified and I'm starting to work through. But exactly right. I was like, I'm a failure. I'm a failure. I'm an embarrassment. I don't deserve to be here. I gotta go home.
Yeah, and sometimes I get the best feedback from people who have no idea why they're there, who are totally unqualified to be there, and just kind of trusting that sometimes being a novice is exactly what people want you to be can be powerful. I also think that sometimes I have a tendency to underestimate how much I do know. And it sounds like maybe there was a balance of the two there.
No, what you shared, your observations, they resonate deeply. And at one point, someone kind of whispered to me and they're like, we need like your palette here because it's an example of more what our customer base is drinking. Like, these people who are living and breathing the wine business and have been in it for years, I mean, their palates are evolved in a way that mine just isn't yet and maybe never will be, but that's not the point. Like, they need somebody who can just go, yeah, I like that. I can't necessarily tell you why, but I'd drink that. That would be great for a game night with my friends or whatever. It was really hard to lean into that space of not having all of the answers for sure. There is a certain amount of Even if someone else gives you the permission to show up in that way, you need to make that decision yourself. And that's where I was getting hung up. How have you overcome that in yourself in the past?
Well, I think just finding the confidence to admit when I don't know what I'm doing is one. And then the second is getting a better grasp on what I'm actually good at and how I can add value regardless of the situation. So, as an example, I'm really good at seeing patterns that other people don't see, and I'm good at reading in between the lines. And a lot of times I tell myself that I need to do hours and hours of homework, that I need to bring myself up to speed so that I can be the smartest person in the room, or at least on par with the smartest person in the room. And that's rarely true. I was on this call a couple weeks ago with about 20 extraordinary, highly credentialed leaders. And I had planned to do a lot of homework before the call, and life happened, and that just didn't happen. And I almost bowed out of the call, and I thought, you know what? Maybe today is a day that you're just meant to listen more than speak. And so I just showed up, and I was so distracted with something else going on in my life that I honestly hardly even heard a word through the entire hour conversation. I retained very little information, but I noticed the tone of people's voices. And I noticed a really important pattern, which was that all these people, these leaders happened to be women. And almost every one of them started out with this apologetic tone before they gave their report of all these amazing achievements. And that is a pattern that I have worked on myself and have noticed through investing in now close to 100 women and meeting thousands of entrepreneurs, is that women tend to spend more time apologizing for their shortcomings than celebrating their success. And I was just able to pick up on that. So this is the long-winded way of saying all I did in that hour-long meeting is at the end just said, I'd like to share an observation in case it's helpful to any of us in becoming the leaders that we want to be. And I shared that observation honestly. And so many people wrote me notes about how much they appreciated what I said. And I thought, wow, I was totally unprepared for that meeting. I was the least credentialed person in that meeting. And I just remembered what I was good at and leaned into that.
I love that. Thank you for that example. It's I think I love it so much because in my last role, I mean, in PR and, not wanting to dip into a crisis PR situation, one of the quotes we would always use and kind of fall back on is, by failing to prepare, you're preparing to fail. I think it's a Franklin quote. And so I think I just have that ingrained in me, of it's, I mean, similarly, how you felt you should have approached that meeting. But what happens when we abandon the shoulds? We stop shoulding all over our lives and we just show up as our authentic selves and we just let our imperfections like exist. I just, it's something that I am trying to hold dear and continue to ask myself and push on because I think that. I mean, look, that was a perfect example. That's exactly what you did. And look at the way that you were able to create connection. I think that's just really beautiful.
Well, also, I think the way that you define prepared is fluid. So I didn't prepare in the way that I thought I should have for that particular meeting, but I've done the work over the last 20 years to figure out what I'm good at, to get myself a seat at the table that I was sitting at. And I feel like some of the schools of thought around being your authentic self, and my imperfectly honest opinion, give people too much permission to stop doing the work. And And I think for me, I wanna give myself more permission to mess up, and I wanna allow myself to be my more animal self. And I'm really glad that I've spent 20 years doing the work, and I will continue to do that. And I don't want to lose that balance or give the impression that I'm telling other people to lose that balance either. But I want to go back to one random thing that you said because it's something that I'm really working on. You said that you and George are both comfortable sitting in silence. And I really admire that. I am not a person who feels that way. And I'm curious, are you comfortable sitting in silence with most people or just with George?
No, I think I'm getting better at it as I'm becoming more, I think, confident and secure in myself. It's not like the universal way that I show up. I do feel a pull to maybe fill space more with some other people, women specifically. So I don't know if there's a gender thing at play there, or I'm not sure what it is, but it's something I am getting better at, but I wouldn't say it's a universal trait with people that I'm with. But I think that there was this, when I sit and really think about that time with us in that car, such an enclosed space too, there was a comfort in knowing I didn't need to fill it, because unless I had a question to ask or something to share. And that was, I don't know, it just felt okay, and it felt very acceptable, and just that's just how it was. There was never a moment where I think we were trying to be anything different. And there was great conversation and connection and learning. Absolutely. That was happening. But the long stretches of silence was really beautiful. And I think what made it, I appreciated it so much too, because I mean, we were together nonstop for 12 days. And so there were very few moments where I was alone. And I could really use those moments to be maybe not physically alone, like I was still right next to someone, but I could be alone with my thoughts and my reflections and what I was observing and some of the questions I was asking that just felt really, just really necessary, for me to take inventory of all that was happening. And so perhaps that was a greater pull that was helping to pave that path too, just the recognition in my own heart that I needed some of that space. But is there anyone that you are able to kind of sit comfortably in silence with?
No, not a single person.
Not even like your parents?
No.
Wow.
I actually think that my mother's discomfort with being in silence might contribute to the reason why I say this with love, because I say stuff like this on my podcast and I always feel like my mom's gonna beat herself up, but I feel like this is a minor problem in my life. And but yeah, my mom is not that comfortable sitting in silence, and so I think that I maybe picked that up from her. But it's interesting that you said the gender thing. I have been spending a lot of time with a male friend because I've been helping him after he's had two back-to-back surgeries. And when you spend that much time with someone, you just run out of stuff to
Oh,
say.
yeah, absolutely.
I've noticed that I've been giving myself some anxiety when I'm a caretaker because I feel like I need to entertain and fill the
Yeah.
silence when they
Like
can't be in
perform.
social. Exactly. Exactly. And I've been trying to do that less. And I think that that has actually worked in his and in both of our favors because I tend to be annoying to people when I feel like I need to fill the space when they're trying to recover and need a little bit of silence. But one thing a good male friend said to me one time is that His male friends are totally comfortable showing up with four guys at a house, putting a football game on, and maybe not talking to each other for the entire game. And they'll call that hanging out. And I don't know a single woman who would call that hanging out. So I do think that we might be, and there's some generalities here, obviously, but I do think that that might be a gender difference in the way that we're wired. He also said to me one time, "Do you realize that you initiate about 90% of our conversations?" And I thought, "Oh, well, I didn't realize that, but now that you mentioned it, that is true." And we've got a pretty honest relationship. So I said, "Does that annoy you?" And he said, "Not really. I just find it kind of interesting." And he said, "You know, I've always kind of leaned on the women in my life to be my social connection. They've made plans for me. They've encouraged me to reconnect with old friends." And he said, "Maybe there's something to that." And I don't know. I guess I'm gonna lean into it a bit, but also keep remembering that sometimes filling silence causes more problems than it solves.
Well, and I think too, Elizabeth, I mean, maybe this is just my interpretation of it, but when you talk about being more in touch with your animal self, to me, that's also an invitation to be more in touch with your feeling self and not necessarily that leaning on the voice, but just taking inventory of when there is no noise, when you aren't filling it with questions or commentary or, or any kind of talk, how do you just feel in the presence of that person? Do you feel at ease? Do you feel your anxiety because you feel like you should be performing and saying something? Do, can you work yourself out of that? Are you feeling just at peace? I think I feel like there might be something within that where allowing space to sit in silence with others may actually help connect with that animal self in different ways.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's kind of the same effect as when you reconnect with nature. Allowing yourself to be silent in nature brings up all sorts of unexpected opportunities.
That is such a great point. I think more times than not, if I'm not out walking my dog with a friend, I'm listening to something, some kind of podcast, whatever it is. And recently I started really trying to hold myself accountable and leave the AirPods at home and just go out and just be present and aware to the noises around me. And to really, if I'm passing other people, consciously make eye contact, say hello, stop and engage in a little conversation instead of a quick smile and head nod because you're in the middle of listening to something else. And I think it's a really great reminder that we can also sit in silence in nature. It doesn't need to necessarily be alongside someone. Because at the end of the day, I think it's just sitting with ourselves, with our own feelings, in our own thoughts.
Well, I think we've touched on a couple interesting topics here. And in closing, what's one thing you'd like to leave with our listeners, either that you haven't already shared or that you just want to underscore?
I would just love to encourage everyone as we close out this year and start to maybe set some intentions or hopes for the year ahead to just channel la dolce vita. How can you just savor the sweetness of life in those everyday moments? And it doesn't need to be something as extravagant as a 2-week trip to Italy, but how can you savor that morning cup of coffee? How can you give yourself permission to order the dessert or to delay doing that household task so that you can go outside and take a 30-minute walk while the sun is shining? I think that's my biggest takeaway. Something I want to try to do, and I hope everyone else can do too. How can you just invite La Dolce Vita?
I love that. La dolce vita and your morning coffee. I think that's a great point to close out. Well, Kayla, thank you for a lovely conversation. And to our listeners, until next time.